Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In me, you may have peace. That's what Jesus says to the disciples in John 16:33. And it applies to all of us who believe that he came from God to save us from ourselves and our overpowering enemy, the world, which is ruled by Satan. He says that in Jesus, there is peace. And in the world, you will have tribulation. Jesus has left the world and gone back to the Father. But he didn't do that until he went to the cross, where he took the proverbial bullet for you and me. He died in your place to share the peace he has by being with the Father. Now, that's kind of an important piece to this that's easily overlooked. Jesus shares the peace which he has with the Father with us. It's his peace that we're getting. It's the peace he's receiving by not being alone, but by being with the Father. And now he says, peace is yours, my friends. Peace from the enemy who's working so hard to trouble you, to distress you, pain you, unleash hardships upon you. Things like sickness, broken homes, addiction, work ordeals, frayed relationships stirred by abuse, frustrations of all sorts that build up into anger and spew from your lips in filthy words flung toward others, even others of the household of faith. Peace from sin is what we have. In Christ, you may have peace. We live in the world where Jesus says we will have tribulation. And it doesn't take long in this life to learn just how right he is, does it? Tribulation comes quickly. But take heart, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. He did so when he was crucified. Take heart. Because the peace we have by being in Jesus is greater than the tribulation we have because we live in this fallen world. Though we suffer, in Christ, we have peace. And our Lord tells us how we receive that peace. Jesus says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. See, he was teaching the disciples about life after his crucifixion, life after his resurrection, indeed, life after his ascension back to the Father. In other words, life right now. When his work has been completed upon the cross and his people, us, would have direct access to our Father in heaven. And he said, until now, you have asked nothing in my name, in Jesus' name. The disciples didn't go to the Father in the name of Jesus while Jesus was alive with them. They went to Jesus, and then Jesus went to the Father for them. Much like the Israelites went to Moses, who went to God, and then God told him to make that serpent on the stick and put it there for them to look at, right? The mediator. But our mediator has now made it possible by his atoning work on the cross, by being that serpent on the stick for us to look at. He has made it possible for us to approach our Father directly in his name. Ask, and you will receive, he says, that your joy may be full. We have a lesson here today from the gospel, a lesson on prayer, a lesson that teaches us that prayer is how we receive peace in a world full of tribulation. In that day, these days, after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord, in that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that you will ask the Father, I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. John 16, 26 and 27. In my name, Jesus says. Three times we get that phrase as he teaches how we are to approach our Father in prayer during these latter days. We pray in Jesus' name. And then he says, in me, you may have peace. That's an interesting thought. In someone. In Matthew, I receive peace. That's weird, right? In Jesus, it makes sense. Because we are the body of Christ. You are his members. You are in him. Through communion with him, through baptism, into his life and death and resurrection, in him. That's really the only way that statement makes sense, is when we think about Jesus as he taught of himself. As Christians, those who've been united with Christ by faith through baptism and brought into communion with his Father who gives him peace and makes it to where he's not alone, and communion with him, and then communion with his Holy Spirit through the Lord's Supper, through these sacraments and the preaching of the word, as those who live in Christ, we have then a tool at our disposal, a very real, practical, tangible tool that will give us peace if only we would use it in the midst of our tribulation. That tool is prayer. That thing we overlook, that thing that seems like the last thing we do for someone when they need help. Oh yeah, what can I do for you? Pray. Oh, I'll do that, but what else can I do? No, pray. That's the thing I want you to do. Because we have direct prayer to our Father in Jesus' name, in Christ. Now, Luther does a great job about teaching this. There's a great job portraying just how real and needful prayer is. He says, when you, Christian, when you pray, then you and every Christian are like warriors on the field of battle with weapons drawn, helping to guard and protect the Christian church against the devil and the world. For every Christian is a soldier who is engaged in battle with the devil. As firmly as other pastors and I do battle through our preaching and teaching, so firmly ought you contend and fight at every turn. For we Christians are mighty warriors, some of us preaching, and you also praying. He says these two things, diligently preaching and earnestly praying, pierce the devil's heart. If he is to be defeated and overthrown in our lives here and now, as he was on the cross, it must be done by these two weapons, as they are carried out in Christ, the crucified one, who has defeated the enemy. Friends, when you pray, that simple, seemingly meaningless task, the one that you almost regularly fall asleep in when you're doing at night. Who's guilty of falling asleep during prayer? This guy, right? If I'm too tired and I start to pray at night, ooh, I'm out, right? When you pray, when you're doing that thing that seems so simple, you're wielding the sword of peace known as the cross of Christ. You're carrying our Lord, the true peacemaker, onto the battlefield of tribulation. When you go to our Father in Jesus' name, you are lunging his victorious blade into the belly of Beelzebub. Your prayers in Jesus' name disembowel the devil and dismember the demonic army. That's what your prayers do. That's how it brings you peace. As one theologian put it, the peace which we have in Christ is not only the peace which he gives, it is also the peace which Jesus himself enjoys in communion with the Father. He shares his very own peace with us, not keeping any of it for himself. It's ours as we remain in him, participating in his life sacramentally through baptism and communion, and through the hearing of his word preached into our ears. The world which inflicts tribulation on us is both Christ's enemy and our enemy. But it's a beaten enemy, no doubt. The cross which the Lord has already embraced marked our triumph and the world's downfall. When we pray directly to our Father, we acknowledge Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. We acknowledge Jesus' victory over death and the devil. When we pray directly to our Father in Jesus' name, we are confirming for ourselves in the midst of hardship that our Lord reigns over us. And consequently, we are confirming for others around us just how true that fact is. We are confirming that we have reason to take heart because Jesus has already overcome the world. See the crown and the cross? Our Lord is victorious. He is our King. We are living in Christ, in his victory, when we pray to our Father in Jesus' name. We're taking up his weapon that he's given us and reminding the world and ourselves that our Lord already won the war. This is why Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. Take it to the bank. You will have it. But take heart. I have overcome the world. What's troubling your heart this morning? What is troubling you? You're a Christian. You live in Jesus. Pray to your Father directly in Jesus' name. The Father himself loves you because you love Jesus and believe that Jesus came from God. Your Father will answer your prayer. He will take away the thing that is bothering you and replace it with peace, that your heart may have comfort because you love Jesus and you believe in Jesus. Pray to God that you may have that peace. It's yours already in Christ. He has said so. In me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You may watch your spouse die. You may get cancer. You may be abused. Divorce may cut through your home. You will most certainly contend against a failing body. And the hate of those who don't know Jesus will cut you. But your Savior, your God, said, take heart, dear soldier, take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome all the hurts in your heart. Have peace. Jesus has overcome the world. He did so on the cross. And he did so for you, so that you would have the peace that he gives, despite living in this world of tribulation. It is so. And so we say, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.